Chapter 2. Saul proceeded to give Ingrid the lowdown on her new assignment as she jogged back to the mugging victim with the woman's purse. Saul had resolutely refused to tell Ingrid why the deputy chief had taken such an interest in this new assignment, despite her asking him more than once. He simply told her he would text the address to her and hung up. Two uniformed cops, one male, one female, both on pedal cycles, were talking to the woman who had had her purse snatched. One had a pen poised over his notebook. Ingrid handed the woman back her belongings. She managed to find a dog-eared business card in her pocket and handed it to the female cop. "I don't have time to give you a statement right now," Ingrid explained. "Call me this afternoon." She looked down at the rectangle of embossed card.
"FBI? Is this a joke?"
"Call the U.S. Embassy after lunch. They'll patch you through to me." The cop looked up and down the river path, searching for something.
"Where are the cameras?"
"What?" Ingrid really didn't have time for this right now.
"You're filming something, right?"
The cop nudged her colleague, whose mouth had dropped open.
"You're that actress. The one who..."
"No." Ingrid took off her baseball cap. "I'm not." She forced a smile. "Just be sure and call me this afternoon if you need another description of the perp." She tucked her short hair back under her cap. The mugging victim was staring at her intensely now, too.
"I can see it myself. You do look a bit like her. Except for the short hair, of course. What's her name? Oh, Charlie's thingamy. Anyway."
She reached into her wallet.
"Thanks ever so much for getting my bag back. I'll be lost without my phone. Here."
She waved a crisp 20-pound note at Ingrid.
"Take something for your trouble."
Ingrid held up both hands, resisted the temptation to say, "Just doing my job, ma'am," and sprinted back to where she had parked her motorcycle. She reached her hotel in Marylebone in less than 10 minutes. The Triumph Tiger 800 wasn't a Harley, but it handled pretty well, especially weaving through rush-hour traffic in central London. She parked up in the underground parking lot and took the emergency stairs to the fourth floor. 10 feet from her room, she pulled up. The door was open 6 or so inches. She checked the hallway left and right. No sign of the linen cart. She pictured her FBI-issue Glock 23 nestling in its locked metal case within the safe inside the closet. There were at least 30 seconds between Ingrid and the gun. More than enough time for an intruder to take her out and do whatever else it was they'd come here for. She pressed her back against the hallway wall and drew in a deep breath. And listened. Silence for a few seconds, then a noisy metallic clang sounded from inside the room. Ingrid pushed open the door a few more inches and peered through the gap. There was no one in the bedroom. A second later, she heard a high-pitched scream. It was coming from the bathroom. Ingrid rushed toward the sound, yanking the bedside table lamp from its socket on her way to the bathroom. The scream modulated suddenly into a yodel.
What the...
Ingrid stopped just short of the bathroom door. Inside, she saw a chambermaid wearing a huge pair of headphones. The woman was bending over the toilet, scrubbing the inside of the pan in time to the tinny beat issuing from the headphones. Grabbing her lower back, the woman straightened up and turned toward Ingrid. Ingrid quickly shoved the lamp behind her back and plastered on a smile. The maid froze when she saw her and clutched a thick-fingered hand to her chest, then smiled broadly, her mouth busy with Eastern European metal dentalware. She said something in Russian, the thick accent placing her country of origin somewhere on the northeastern side of the Black Sea. Although Ingrid was tempted to respond to the woman in her native tongue, she just smiled sweetly and backed out of the room as the maid awkwardly rotated her cleaning cart 180 degrees and dragged it from the cramped bathroom. The maid was new. The regular maid, a much younger woman, always left the cart in the hallway outside. Ingrid shooed this maid out of the room, returning her extravagant nods and smiles in kind.
"Come back later," she said firmly, and slammed the door.
After checking her handgun was still stored securely in the safe, Ingrid showered and dressed quickly, choosing a somber dark gray trouser suit from her small collection of work clothes. Yet again, she made a mental note to visit a Banana Republic to purchase one or two alternative suits when she next had the chance. When she packed for her 5-day London trip, she had had no clue she would still be living out of a suitcase 4 months later. But then she hadn't expected to be offered a job in the U.S. Embassy Criminal Division. As she dabbed a smudge of mascara under her left eye, she promised herself she'd do something to fix her wardrobe and her living arrangements. Sometime. Soon. Already running perilously late, she chose to forego her usual wheatgrass juice in the coffee shop next to the hotel and went straight for her regular double espresso chaser. 15 minutes later, she was climbing off her motorcycle in the forecourt of the St. Pancras Hotel in King's Cross. Her cell started to buzz. She grabbed it from her bag, saw it was an out-of-area number, and hit the dismiss option. It was very probably her fiancé, calling to boast about its successful conclusion to his latest investigation. Or maybe he wanted to tell her about yet another new promotion. Marshall and his ever-growing ego could wait. She shoved the phone back in her bag, hurried through the main entrance, and headed straight for the elevator and the 5th floor. Saul had given her only sketchy details of the assignment. She had a name, a room number, and a basic outline of the crime. She still hadn't managed to work out why the deputy chief had taken such an interest in the case. Perhaps the victim himself would be able to enlighten her. Usually a simple robbery would have been reported to the local cops, with Ingrid, or more likely, one of the civilian members of the embassy staff, liaising with them afterward. But it seemed Greg Brewster was far too important to be left to deal with the situation without higher-level U.S. embassy representation. She quickly found the room on the 5th floor and knocked twice, good and hard. The door opened 3 inches, restrained by a metal safety catch.
"Where the hell have you been?"